This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? Welcome into Gwen and Chris. So good to be back in America's finest city. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., yes, the Padres have landed. They are in South Korea getting ready for their season opening game against the Los Angeles Dodgers next Wednesday morning, 3 a.m. Make sure you join us down there at 7 Mile Casino for party.
Soapy Joe's
sponsoring. Should be a lot of fun. Yeah, the Padres got into Korea okay. That means Tony Gwynn Jr. made it safely. We will not hear from him today. I imagine he is sleeping somewhere in Korea, getting caught up on some shut-eye there.
You know what you need to do if you haven't seen anything from that? Go follow Bob Scanlon on X, because he is doing a great job of giving everyone a tour.
He's taking a lot of video?
Taking a lot of pictures, okay. Just explaining to people. I guess when they checked into their hotel, their bed had a San Diego Padres like logo on the pillows.
Well, isn't that classy?
Yeah, it is. Marcus was on the plane.
I've always said, stay classy, Korea.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. And obviously, they're handling things with class as the Padres have arrived safely there. Dylan Cease, was he on the trip or not?
Okay, he was not, but...
Did you get that? Did we have to get TMZ on the case?
No, Bob Scanlon again was the one
who answered
Bob
Scanlon,
this.
Okay.
He has been great reporting about this Korea travel. We're going to ask in the Big Five, because Dylan Cease is going to join the Padres in Seoul. I believe he is leaving tonight for that, but okay. The question in the Big Five is, what's the point of him going halfway across the world just to come back? And he's not going to pitch, but we'll get into that later.
He's a good teammate. What about Steven Wilson? He was probably all packed and ready to go.
I feel really
bad for
him.
To South Korea.
I feel really bad for him.
I'll tell you one thing. We'll talk about the trade here in a minute. But, because when I went off the air yesterday, we still didn't know who the Padres had to give up.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to commenting on that. But before we get to that, I want to update you on a couple of things. First of all, the Mountain West Conference basketball tournament today, the first game. The top seed Utah State taking on the 9 seed Fresno State. And guess what? Fresno State is giving Utah State everything they can handle here.
Yes.
There is 2 minutes and 26 seconds remaining in that game right now. Utah State leads, but only by 4. 70-66. Fresno State's making it very tough on Utah State. I got to get my states squared away here.
Directional schools?
Yeah, the directional schools. But yeah, Utah State 70, Fresno State 66. They're in a timeout, 2:26 left. We'll let you know how that turns out. Once that game is over, it'll be about a half an hour until the Aztecs take the court against UNLV. You know darn well we'll be keeping you up to that date on that particular item throughout the program. The other thing. To make sure that we get clear to everybody today, Scraby, before we get too far into the show, I'm happily wearing fresh underwear.
Oh, thank goodness. I was going to ask you at some point.
I'm back, baby.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. We had such a long trip to Las Vegas. Congratulations to Stacey Terry Hudson and her Aztec women's team. They made a terrific run in the Mountain West tournament. They did, sadly, run out of gas in the second half last night against that really good UNLV team. The Aztecs were ahead in the second half. They had a 2-point lead, but UNLV was just too good. The Aztecs, four games. games in four nights finally took its toll. And so UNLV beat them to advance to the NCAA tournament. But that doesn't take away a great run, a run that kept me in Las Vegas for 6 days and five nights. And unfortunately, I did not, as we discussed yesterday, I did not plan out my underwear usage properly. So,
oh, gosh,
I know. Is this too much information?
No, but I thought about it for hours upon hours about how grossed out I was.
It wasn't gross. It's not gross to switch your underwear and wear it inside out. Nothing gross about that, Scrape.
Yes,
as a matter of fact, people on the chat were mostly in agreement with what I had done, including Ben Higgins. And if it's okay with Ben Higgins, it's certainly okay with me.
If you know what,
it just wasn't okay with you.
I will give you that, Chris.
Thank you.
Ben Higgins is turning his underwear inside out.
He's a television star. I'm only a radio guy.
And he's very put together.
You almost expect that kind of behavior from a radio guy. But a television star, right? It would be a totally different story.
Yeah, you can't do that. As
can't
a TV
do that.
Guy.
But Ben Higgins did it. So
that changes.
Anyway,
my mind
I'm back home. I got a shower. I got some fresh underwear today, Scraby. All is good in my life. And it's good to be back with you here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. We got a good show lined up for you today. Jerry Palm of CBS Sports is going to be on the program with us. He is their bracketologist. And we'll get the latest from him as this Mountain West Conference tournament gets underway. Fresno State, by the way, just tied it up 70-70 now with a minute 15 remaining. So this game's coming right down to the wire. Wouldn't that be something if Utah State, the top seed, got knocked out in the very first round?
But that'd be unbelievable.
It really would be. Fresno State had an awful season, and they came in as the number 9 seed. But Utah State now in the final minute with possession in a tie game. But Jerry Palm, the bracketologist, will square us away on what's at stake in the Mountain West Conference Tournament, where the Aztecs are right now, where they could go if they win the tournament, where they could go if they lose today, et cetera, et cetera. So looking forward to that. We'll have our first 97.3 The Fan Roundtable Padre. And we'll be playing the replay of that.
Yes.
This morning, it was Ben and Woods, it was Craig, and it was Annie. And who else? Was Sammy involved?
Sammy was involved.
I was supposed to be involved, but I was flying back from Las Vegas. So.
Yeah, I listened on the way down here, and it...
it's going
to
be great.
I'm always curious as a radio guy to find out how five voices are going to go together on the air.
Right.
But everybody was great, and everybody was very fired up about this, and I thought the roundtable was awesome.
Yeah, well, we're going to play that from 5 to 6 o'clock. If you are a Padre baseball fan, do not miss that. We'll have an hour of nothing but Padre talk from all of our hosts from 5 to 6. So you and I will be together from 2 to 5 today, as it were.
Yes.
And then we'll have the roundtable from 5 to 6. And then the Scraby Chronicles from 6 to 7.
Last night it turned into the Sammy and Scraby show.
Yeah, Sammy and Scraby.
I usually end the Gwen and Chris YouTube, and then I start a Scraby Show YouTube.
Right.
But we had, and this is, I don't like to talk about this stuff much, but this was really cool. How many people we had watching yesterday? We had, according to the counter, we had like 2,400 people.
No way.
Watching.
Watching
yes.
on YouTube?
Watching on YouTube or on through
wow.
X.
It's a good thing I've got.
On X.
It's a good thing I've got fresh underwear on then.
I know, right?
With that many people watching.
Right? I mean, that would have been embarrassing if they saw the stink line.
All right. All right. Let's get to Dylan Cease that just went to overtime, by the way, in the Mountain West Conference game. Fresno State, Utah State, they are tied at 70. They're going to play a 5-minute overtime there in Las Vegas. So that means the Aztec UNLV game will be pushed back a little bit. But we'll keep an eye on that overtime for you as we go along. All right, Scrabe, you and Adam Klug, in my mind, are the world's biggest nerds.
Wait.
And the reason here's why. Adam Klug, our program director, and Matt Scraby, the producer of this program, have put together basically what amounts to as a resume profile of greatness having to do with newly acquired Padres pitcher Dylan Cease.
Yeah, because there's so many detractors saying that the Padres overpaid. He had a terrible year last year. He's not good enough.
And those detractors have every right to say exactly what they're saying.
Sure.
Dylan Cease did have a bad year last year.
He did.
His ERA was 4.58. That is more than one run every two innings. No matter how those runs were gotten off of him, whether it was because of less than average defense behind him or unlucky on balls that were put in play.
Or wind that was blowing out.
Whatever the case, he gave up better than one run every two innings. 4.58 ERA. He also only won seven games last year. But if you look further, and believe me, Scraby and Adam have looked further.
I'm going to give this the research to Adam. I just discussed it.
You just discussed it. Yes. Dylan Cease is still the man. Even 1 year removed from his brilliant season of 2022 in which he finished second in the Cy Young balloting. So I'll let you read some of these things and then I'll try to figure out what they all mean.
Okay.
Give me some of the Dylan Cease statistics that prop him up as a really, really good pitcher as opposed to a guy that was very mediocre in the eyes of most people last season.
I'm going to start with ERA Plus, and this is not on that tweet, but we'll get to it.
All right.
ERA Plus is a scale that I use to determine how good a player is playing. So if you're at 100 ERA Plus, you're an average player around Major League Baseball. Anything over 100 means that you are an above average player. Anything under 100, you're a below average player.
All right.
Now, I know he was a below-average player, according to ERA Plus last year, at 97. But for a guy who had a quote-unquote terrible season last year,
right,
he came out as an average pitcher, or slightly below an average pitcher.
So, but let me ask you this. And first of all, how do you even figure out ERA Plus?
Baseball Reference.
Oh, no, I know you get it. I know you can figure out by reading it on Baseball Reference, but how do they arrive at the number of 97?
That's a good point.
I mean, that's my question. A ERA Plus makes it sound like Dylan Cease was an average pitcher last year. He was a 97 on a scale where 100 is exactly the league average. To compare, though, Dylan Cease from the Cy Young season or the second place Cy Young season of 2022, that year he was a 180 ERA plus.
Which means he was exceptional.
Exceptional. But last year he was a 97. So you're trying to tell me this is a good statistic. I'm trying to tell you this shows that he was only half as good last year as he was the year before.
Here's what
I'm telling
you.
That's not very good.
Here's what I'm telling you. So ERA plus is calculated to have a league adjusted number, and it's calculated by taking the league average ERA, dividing that by the pitcher's ERA, multiplying by 100.
All right. Well, that sounds a little crazy to me, but whatever it is, he was great in 2022. He was less than average last year.
Yes.
So if you're going to, based on that statistic, ERA plus, and you like that one.
I do.
All right. Based on that, the Padres traded away three good prospects and a good reliever for an average starting pitcher.
Last year.
Okay, but I'm telling you, this is why a lot of people are being critical of this trade.
Let me tell you about the rest of the stats.
I will let you.
All right, so his ERA, we've already established 4.58. Now his xERA, which is expected ERA, which takes into account different factors and variables, he actually had an expected ERA that was slightly lower, not incredibly lower, but it was 4.07. So the expected ERA tells you that he was better than his actual ERA.
All right. So that takes into account the fielding behind him, some of the wind conditions, some of the hard hit balls.
Yeah.
So even a 4.07 isn't exactly spectacular, but it's better than 4.58. We'll give you that one.
The next one is one that is called FIP. Fielding independent of a pitcher. FIP is something with, it's the independent fielding for a pitcher. It was 3.72. The xFIP, the expected FIP, 4.08. So he was better there. Now
again, 3.72, is that better or worse than the 3.10 that he was the year before that in FIP?
I believe it's better.
It was better last year. So he actually had a better FIP last year than he did the year before.
Yes.
Okay. Whatever that means.
See, I'm not a big fipper.
You're not a fipper. All right, well, let's move on from that
okay,
one.
Okay, so the highest BAPIP, which I am a BAPIP guy, batting average on balls in play. So this takes into account how unlucky you are. So if you're the higher your BAPIP is, the more, you know, the more it's supposed to be a hit.
Okay.
His BAPIP last year was 330. So he was getting extremely unlucky last year because the balls that were put in play ended up falling 33% of the time.
Right. He gave up a 333 average on balls put in play.
Yes.
One thing that BAPIP doesn't discuss, though, is how hard those balls were hit.
Correct.
So if it was a bunch of bloop hits, I can agree with you that he might have been unlucky. If it was a bunch of line drives off the fence,
that's a different story.
I find it hard to agree with you that he was lucky, but his BAPIP says he was better than he was. Gotcha.
Also, his defense behind him last year, worse
terrible
than baseball.
Yeah, we all know that one. The
all
White
right
Sox defense was very bad behind him.
Two more.
Okay.
The lowest left on base percentage since his rookie year, 69.4 in 2023.
Okay.
So that's good.
All right,
he stranded lots of runners. Second lowest home run per fastball rate of his career at 10.2%. No, I don't. That's just
I
a
don't
number.
Get that one.
Yeah, that one I'm not going to.
Here's the
to
one that I'm gonna get really behind Dylan Cease. All
okay
right,
all right.
The first bunch
tell
of them,
me.
The first bunch of them, I don't know that it makes him look any better or worse. It's all analytics. It's a little over my head. You know, I'll go ahead and agree with some people who think his analytics say he's better than he was. But the one thing that I can get behind is the fact that in the last three seasons combined, he's had more swing and misses on his pitches
yes
than any other pitcher in baseball.
That's one we can definitely pay attention
that
to.
That I can pay
that's
attention to.
That's a raw
to
number.
That's a raw number. He has thrown more pitches in the last 3 years that have been swung at and missed than any pitcher in baseball. That tells me he's got electric stuff. That you know, right? I mean, that to me is an easy one to quantify. So if you're into that, he also had more strikeouts than any other pitcher in baseball the last 3 years.
I have to make a correction on the left on base percentage.
I don't know if we care that much.
I think we do because someone in the chat, Hassan Kim, everybody in the chat says these
right
guys don't understand analytics. And you
we
know
don't
why? You know why?
We don't.
Because they're fake numbers.
Yeah, do you? I mean, whoever's writing that, do you understand analytics?
Oh, the name is Hassan Kim, so of course.
Why does Hassan Kim
know
have to understand analytics?
No, analytics are great sometimes, and analytics are really a way for people to try to prove their point with numbers that are imaginary. They're taken from real numbers and manipulated to make another number, and I don't understand that.
No.
I just like the raw
we
numbers.
We could argue this forever, but obviously, all I need to know is that Dylan Cease in 2022 was easily one of the best pitchers in baseball. 14-8, 2.20 ERA with 227 strikeouts in just 184 innings. Last year, he was at best a below average pitcher.
Yes.
With a 7-9 record, a 4.58 ERA, and even an ERA plus that was below the league average. He still, though, struck out 214 in 177 innings. He does have great stuff.
He does.
He's hard to hit. But last year, when they hit him, the balls were in play and they landed, and a lot more runs scored against him last year than did the year before.
Okay, here's my correction on left on base percentage. The higher the number, the worse it is.
Okay.
I made that mistake. So he had the lowest left on base percentage since his rookie year.
All right. The overtime has gone all the way of Utah State. They're inside of a minute to go now in overtime. Utah State has scored 10 points in the overtime. Fresno State has scored zero. So it went from 70-70 at the end of regulation to 80-70 in favor of Utah State now with less than a minute to play. It looks like the Aggies are going to survive. That's who the Aztecs or UNLV will play next. We'll continue talking about all of these numbers and whether or not the Padres gave up too much for Dylan Cease.
Sorry, one more fact of raw numbers because this actually says something, too. The last three seasons, he struck out 200 or more batters, and it does not matter if he had a bad team behind him. He's still striking out guys.
I think I mentioned all of his strikeouts. He has more than any. I did. You weren't paying attention.
I was somewhat.
Somewhat. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Numbers are for nerds. I don't want to like make fun of people who are analytics people, but some of these numbers are just ridiculous.
I agree a lot more with the numbers or nerds comment than I do with the you guys don't understand analytics. Because guess what? No one truly does.
It's all interpreted.
Gwen and Chris underway for a Thursday. Glad you're with us. Good to be back in San Diego. Aztecs are playing about a half an hour. We'll keep you up to date on that as we roll along on 97.3 The Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego, California. Tony Gwynn Jr. has gone halfway around the world. He's in Korea. The Padres have landed there. They landed a few hours ago, Scrabe. Sounded like it was about four hours ago, maybe? Yeah, about a 13 and a half hour ride over to Korea.
No problem.
No problem. They're all resting and trying to get over the jet lag. Fresno State took Utah State to overtime, but in the overtime, Utah State ran away to an 87-75 victory. So the top seed in the Mountain West is still alive, and Utah State will play either the Aztecs or UNLV in the semifinals tomorrow night. The Aztecs and Rebels will tip off about a half an hour from right now. A couple of the other top seeds around the country won today as well. UConn beat Xavier 87-60.
Wow.
Top seed in the Big East. Top seed in the ACC, North Carolina rolled Florida State 92-67. Top seed in the Pac-12. You remember the Pac-12, don't you?
I can't even believe they're still even doing this.
This is it.
It's so random.
I know. It's so weird. They're still playing in the Pac-12. Arizona routed Bronny James and USC 70-49. Is Bronny James really going to try to go into the NBA? He's like the eighth best player on a lousy team in college basketball.
I know
who his dad is. I mean, you talk about the all-time situation of nepotism, right? Yes. I mean, this guy is not a very good player. He's got a great name.
I think he knows he needs to work on some stuff.
He's got a long way to go, I would think. And I'm no scout.
No, but you can tell if he's not the best player on his team, then
he's not even close to the best player on his team. I mean, it's not even a conversation.
Unfortunately for him, he is going to be just scrutinized like crazy.
Yeah,
everywhere he goes.
You know, that's okay. He's got to me, that's an advantage for him that he's getting scrutinized. People are, you know, watching what he's doing. But what they're seeing, I would think, is that there's no way he could play in the NBA.
You know what? Actually, someone makes a great point on the chat. Derek does. He did have a heart attack in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something
that's fair.
Held him back.
But that's part of your
makeup. It is.
Makeup,
you can't make the
unfortunately.
NBA. Yeah.
You know. All right. Dylan Cease is a Padre. The question at hand is whether or not the Padres gave up too much. When I saw that Drew Thorpe had been traded, my reaction was, okay, I don't feel great, but you got to give up something to get something.
Yeah,
so
yeah, of course.
There you go. Drew Thorpe, Thanks for the visit.
Thanks for the memories.
Thanks for the memories. When I saw that, what is it, Iriarte,
yeah.
Iriarte had gone. When I saw that Zavala had gone. Again, they all sound like good prospects, but the Padres have better prospects than those two guys. All right? So it's not like you gave away something and left the cupboard bare. I'll be honest with you. The one that bothered me the most was Steven Wilson.
That is tough.
I like Steven Wilson in that bullpen.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a known commodity. Prospects are prospects.
Yes.
That's all they are.
Yes.
Steven Wilson is a legit major league reliever and has been for a couple of years.
I also heard he has picked up some speed on his fastball, too.
That is the one guy that really kind of leaves me, you know, a little bit, not feeling great. I know that the Padres have other relievers. They signed Go. They signed Matsui. You know, you've got some other guys that are coming back. Suarez and on it goes. But I think Steven Wilson's going to be hard to replace.
I think he
was a really, really important part of that bullpen. And I understand that bullpen pieces are just that. But Steven Wilson was a reliably good bullpen piece.
Yeah.
And
you felt good when he came out of the arm bar.
Yeah, I liked him. So with him being traded, in my mind, it is now really up to Dylan Cease to be Dylan Cease 2022.
Yes.
Because if he's Dylan Cease 2023, then this was a crappy trade. And that's all I can say about it. But it's to be determined.
It is to be determined.
I mean, if this guy's second in the Cy Young Award balloting, then you stole him from the White Sox. So that's kind of where I come down on that.
I guess the morning show was explaining it this way. They had a good point. Think of it as a three-team trade with the Yankees, which is kind of also my favorite part, that they got Drew Thorpe in the Juan Soto thing, and the Yankees didn't want to include Drew Thorpe. And then when the Yankees went after Dylan Cease, they were blocked out by the Padres, who traded Drew Thorpe,
their guy,
to get Dylan Cease.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so that
too
is
bad.
Kind of fun. Wandy Peralta, another reliever who's been pretty good this
Wandy Peralta, right? Another addition. So
Drew Thorpe has thrown 7 innings in a Padres uniform.
Well, and they were good.
Spring training baseball,
and they were good. But Drew Thorpe is a few years away, and Dylan Cease is not. So you want to be better in 2024 and 2025, you make the trade. And that's what the Padres did. And I don't really understand why so many people are anti that trade. Because if nothing else, the Padres are trying to be better right now. I would think that's what many of you want.
Manny and Fernando aren't getting younger.
It seems like that's what many of you were upset by when they traded Juan Soto and brought young people in. You thought, oh, aren't we trying to win anymore? Now they make a trade. Trying to say, yes, we're trying to win now. Guess what? People are upset about that.
I feel like I have a pretty good pulse on Padres fans, but this surprised me about the reaction, because Padres fans have been asking for a big move. There's the big move, and now all of a sudden some Padres fans don't like the big move.
Right.
Which I understand that some people can have that feeling, but I'm excited about this.
You people are hard to please out there.
They are.
But we'll continue to try and do our best. When we come back, Jerry Palm, bracketologist from CBS Sports, joins us. Looking forward to this conversation with the NCAA tournament right around the corner. More Gwynn and Chris coming up. All right, let's get right back to it. 2:39 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios here in the lovely San Diego, California, where I saw some raindrops on the way in. So everybody be careful out there. You know what? A little rain.
I can't take any more mud.
I know. It's weird.
And
it is a little weird with all the rain, but I know. Let's try not to shut down the city this time. I am such a fan of all bracketologists. I think it's really a cool, fun thing to get to do. And I love reading this stuff, and I eat it up. And Jerry Palm from CBS Sports is their bracketologist, and he's nice enough to squeeze us into his busy day. Jerry, how are you? Thanks so much for the time.
I'm all right. How are you?
We're great. We are really good. Let's start with the Mountain West Conference. We just saw Utah State beat Fresno State. It was overtime. That could have hurt Utah State, I imagine. Had they lost that game, they did not. What's at stake for San Diego State as they go into this tournament? I know it's at stake for UNLV. They kind of got to win it or else.
They do.
But how about the Aztecs? They're kind of in a 5-6 spot. Can they go up? Can they go down if they lose today?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. A loss could knock them down a little bit. It depends on what other teams do, you know.
Yeah.
You have to keep in mind that only, in that part of the bracket, 7, maybe 8 teams are going to win a conference championship and everybody else is losing their last game. So, you can't just overreact to a loss. But for San Diego State, they've got a chance to move up. They could probably get as high as a 4 if they won this tournament, and maybe even a 3. And if they don't, I'd be surprised to see them as low as a 6.
Jarek, the Aztecs seemed like they were in a spot to get maybe a 3 or a 4 before this recent stretch. But none of the losses were necessarily bad. But I like, honestly, even though I'm an Aztec, I like the fact that they were dropped a little bit because they were losses. I mean, it should count for something.
Yeah, I mean, it does. You know, look, they're not bad losses. They haven't lost to anybody where you start to worry about them or anything like that. It's just, you know, you're in a good league, and sometimes it doesn't go your way when you're playing these other good teams.
We were talking to Jerry Palm, and also his projections were just up on our screen on CBS Sports Network here in studio.
Famous.
Yes, you are very famous. you had the Aztecs at a 6, is that correct?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, he's got them there,
I might have had them as a 6, so I don't think they'll get lower than 6.
All right. My question might be a little strange, but that's what I do here. And if you're a team like the Aztecs, what is the best seed, in your opinion, for a team like them, where they're not in the major conferences, but they're still a good team and they could still make some do some damage in the tournament? What do you think is the best seed for someone like them?
Well, they were 5 last year and got to the Final 4.
Good point.
You know, a 6 means that you go a longer period of time without seeing a 1. But, you know, you're going to get a 3 and a 2 before you see a 1.
Right.
So, you're going to have to beat some good teams. It doesn't really matter where your seed is. At some point, you're going to have to beat some good teams if you're going to advance in this thing as far as you want to go.
Jerry Palm is with us. Jerry, you had 6 teams in the Mountain West going to the tournament right now. That would be a record for the conference. We've heard about it all season. Yeah. But New Mexico is a last 4 in, and they've got to play Boise State tonight, which is a really good game and a really good team. And they're going to be playing late at night. I don't know if anybody's even going to see the game. They won't get over till you'll be up, right? Because you're doing your thing. But is this kind of it for New Mexico? I mean, if they win it, can they sleep easier? And if they lose it, are they really in danger?
I guess it is kind of like that. I mean, the one that really would have put us in danger would have been yesterday. Losing to Boise State. I mean, they could still make it if they lose to Boise State, but if they beat Boise State, then yeah, I think they're set. They'll get in. The biggest thing for New Mexico this year has always been the inability to beat good teams away from home. They did beat Nevada, and that's why they're in the bracket at all. But if they could get one more like that, then that would really be something that would give them a little cushion.
Talking to Jerry Palm of CBS Sports here on 97.3, the Fan, bracketologist for CBS Sports. And I'm going to go away from the bracketology just for a second, but ask about Brian Dutcher, because he was extended by the Aztecs through 2028. And it didn't surprise us here in San Diego, but I talked to some people outside of San Diego, and it did kind of surprise them that he didn't try to go find a better paying job. What do you think about Brian Dutcher being extended by San Diego State?
I thought it was a smart move on their part to get that done. Somebody asked me the other day, how does the Mountain West maintain this level of success? And the biggest thing is to retain the coaches, which is, has been difficult to do. Steve Alford's been around for a while now. Brian Dutcher has been around probably the longest. Richard Pitino has been at New Mexico now for a little bit. So, but Danny Sprinkle's brand new, and he won the league. He inherited a team that had 0 points returning from last year and found a way to win the league, which is just remarkable. And Leon Rice has been at Boise State for quite a while, too. So it's the ability to retain coaches and have some continuity with your programs, your especially your better ones, to in order for this to maintain its status as a high quality league, at the very least at the top.
Jerry Palm, the CBS Sports Bracketologist. It's March Madness. This is our time of year. It's his time of year. Jerry, the Aztecs made that run last year, so we know that they could potentially do something like that again if they get on a, you know, a lucky streak. Which of the other teams from the Mountain West do you think has the best chance to make some Sweet 16-type noise this year in the tournament? Because even though all these teams are going to get in, none of them are going to be higher than a 5 seed, most likely. Maybe one team will get a 4. So a Sweet 16 run means one of these teams is going to have to upset somebody to get there. Who can do it?
Yeah. Well, I guess I would start with Utah State. They were good enough to win the league, a very good league. So they are probably, I don't know if they're going to get the highest seed because of, you know, non-conference results have something to do with that, too. And these teams are really bunched together. So the conference tournament could have something to say about it. But, you know, Utah State has been really good over the final two-thirds of this season. But a lot of it's really going to have to do with the draw, you know, the matchups you get. I think that, you know, Utah State, San Diego State, Boise State, Nevada, they're all capable of a, you know, second weekend run if they get the right draw. A lot of it's just going to depend on the matchups.
We're talking to Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, here on 97.3 The Fan. And Jaden Ledee has been awesome this year. He, isn't going to probably be a first-team All-American. But what are your thoughts on Jaden Ledee and his status among all the other basketball players?
Yeah, he's had a tremendous season. He may not be first-team All-American, but I'd be surprised if he wasn't on an All-American team, you know, second or third for sure. A tremendous year in the league. He was a good player last year for them too. A big part of them making that run to the Final Four. So I think he's tremendous. I don't know anything about his pro prospects. It's not really my area of expertise, but I think that
ours either.
I think you'll see his name on an All-America list somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. Jerry, how did your career as a bracketologist develop, and where has it come to from where it was when you first started doing this? I don't know how many years ago, because I know I started 30 years ago.
Wow.
But 30 years ago, there wasn't the internet for everybody to read all of your bracketology.
Yeah, exactly.
Now now it's something we all have to watch. Tell me how it's kind of evolved a little bit in your mind.
Yeah. When I first started doing it, I was teaching, my degree's computer science. I was a programmer for lawyers and bankers. And I had a new computer, new database software, and they had just changed the RPI formula. So now I have the formula, and I was just, you know, as a college basketball guy, I was curious about that. So I used, you know, the RPI to teach myself this new technology. And once I figured out how to calculate the RPI, I just started sharing it. But I was sharing it on like news groups. Mm. Kind of like the primitive version of message boards.
Yeah.
And the caveman writing on the wall version. I got a page on my AOL account. So I put it there. And, you know, people just started paying attention to it. And the guy who covers Penn State found it in the 1 year. This is the actual miracle of my story. This is the 1 year in a generation that Penn State's good at basketball. This was early on in when I was doing this stuff. And a guy who covers Penn State found it, my stuff, and asked me questions. And we talked a lot. And he liked me. And he told two friends. They told two friends. And within about a year, everybody who covered college basketball knew who I was. And I don't think I could have stopped it.
Yeah, that's awesome. It is awesome.
Yeah.
And then football came along
and I started doing that. So,
yeah, it's so fun. It's so fun to have something you did for fun be something well-liked and become such a big thing.
Last thing for me, Jerry, we're talking to Jerry Palm, CBS Sports Bracketologist, and everybody does a bracket around the country. Everybody.
Yeah,
your profession is to pick these teams and games. What is the best score you have ever had in a bracket?
Oh, I've won bracket challenges before. I've had a rough few years with it, actually, but we have, like, all of our experts do brackets, and it's probably been 5 years since I won it, but I won 2 or 3 in a row
Wow,
among our experts. So, you know, that's there's a fair amount of luck. And I mean, like last year, who could have predicted last year?
No,
you know, everything went sideways last year. So, this year, gosh, the top three teams look so strong compared to everyone else that, you know, if I were betting, I'd probably take them versus the field. But I'm not a bettor really, except for, you know, the occasional $2 bracket. But, but you never know. I mean, that's the thing about one and done tournaments is it only takes one bad day to end the season. So, and if you can string some good days together, like San Diego State did last year, then you can have a really, you know, something that you'll remember.
Yeah, that's what makes March Madness what it is. Jerry Palm, thanks so much. You helped make it what it is, too.
Yeah.
I mean, what he does, Scraby, is he turns March Madness into November and December and January Madness.
Oh, yeah, we're updating on your bracketology.
Yes, we start looking at that stuff, and we follow it all year. Jerry, thanks so much for squeezing us in. Know you're busy today. Hope we'll catch up with you again. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
You bet. There he goes, Jerry Palm from CBS Sports. That was nice for him to, I mean, he's a busy guy. I mean, they've got him on CBS Sports television throughout the day. He's doing stuff. He's updating his bracket. And with every result that comes in, it changes teams that are on the bubble, teams that were, you know, automatic qualifiers that are no longer automatic qualifiers, and on it goes. But he does, one thing he said there that was interesting, that he said a lot of things, but one thing that I caught at the very end of that, in his mind, and I think a lot of people's mind, the top three teams in the nation are Purdue, UConn, and Houston. And he said he would take them versus the field this year to win the national title. So, you know, are those three that far heads and shoulders above the rest?
I don't know. I'm going to have to seriously consider if he's telling me that.
Yeah. I'm going to seriously consider at least printing out one of his brackets before I turn my bracket in, because he's obviously pretty good at it.
Isn't that like kind of cheating in your bracket pool? If you're a professional bracketologist, this is your job.
Yeah, but even he said that he's been lousy the last four or five years.
Yeah, that's good. That's
being
good
a professional bracketologist does not guarantee success in picking these NCAA tournament games.
I guess it's like a fantasy football analyst not winning every year.
It's like a football, yeah, right. Or just, yeah. I mean, Adam Rank or somebody NFL Network has a bad year in fantasy sport. Just like the other way. Somebody as crazy, silly as you can win.
Well, I mean, I'm the double champ over here, okay?
Are you really?
Let me remind everyone.
I hadn't realized you were a double champ.
I was asked the other day, why do you say that you're a double champ? And I say, because I won the Odyssey Fantasy Football League, and I won the Listener Fantasy Baseball League in the same year. Almost had a 49ers Super Bowl that would have completed the trifecta, but I didn't.
All right, please.
So
that had nothing to do with you.
I'll be a double champ.
That had nothing to do with you. 2023 was a year to remember for one Matthew Scraby.
Yes, sir.
All right, speaking of basketball, college basketball, Jaden Ledee is just walking on the floor right now. So the Aztecs and UNLV will tip off here in about 2 minutes.
Black jerseys, I love it.
Yeah, well, look, white jerseys means you're a higher seed. So they're the lower seed in this game.
I like the look, though, better.
You like the look better.
Yeah.
All right. UNLV will be in white. If you must know, you now know. It's the 4-5 matchup. It's a coin flip of a game. We'll see if the Aztecs can get back on track. Finally win a close game. The one thing that, you know, concerns me the most, there's two things. First of all, the Aztecs can't shoot at all. Their shooting has been awful all season long. They've got to start making some shots at some point. All right. And, you know, hopefully it'll start today. Hopefully they'll get going during this tournament, but they have really struggled to shoot the ball. It has just, you know, killed this team. Now, 3-point percentage is the worst in the conference. Field goal percentage, nothing. Free throw percentage, nothing. Lamont Butler, worse than last year.
Can we talk
Darion
about that
Trammell,
real quick?
Worse than last year. Micah Parrish, worse than last year. They've got to find a way to start shooting better.
I don't understand how Lamont Butler can be so amazing from shooting from the floor, but he cannot make a free throw.
Well, he hasn't been great shooting from the floor this year.
Can do it.
Well, he can make a free throw too. He's just not making them this year. He's like
50%.
Yeah, 54%. Yeah, that's bad.
That's worse than Shaq, I think.
It's Shaq-like.
It's
certainly
Shaq-like.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a guy that's handling the ball a lot, which means late in the game, guess who they're going to foul?
Him.
So
Hack a Lamont.
Yeah. So yeah. No, the Aztecs have got to figure out a way to shoot. The other thing they have to do between now and like the next 5 minutes is figure out a way to win some close games. And the funny thing about that is in overtime or one possession games, they won 11 in a row from last year to the beginning of this year. But now they've lost their last six close games, including a couple of overtime games.
Yeah.
They can't all of a sudden win that really close, tight game in the end.
You know what I say? When a streak is going like that, it's got to turn around at some point.
Hopefully today will be the day.
We'll That's keep what you- I say. Put it on a t-shirt, everybody. That's a really long
t-shirt. Let me run out and do that. Yeah. All right. Daily Gambit is next, and we'll keep you up to date on the Aztec game throughout the afternoon. Thanks to Jerry Palm for joining us. Thank you for joining us on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get right back to it. 2:39 is the time. Costello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios here in lovely San Diego, California, where I saw some raindrops on the way in. So everybody be careful out there. You know what? Rain.
I can't take any more mud.
I know. It's weird. It is a little weird with all the rain, but I know. Let's try not to shut down the city this time. I am such a fan of all bracketologists. I think it's really a cool, fun thing to get to do. And I love reading this stuff and I eat it up. And Jerry Palm from CBS Sports is their bracketologist and he's nice enough to squeeze us into his busy day. Jerry, how are you? Thanks so much for the time.
I'm all right. How are you?
We're great. We are really good. Let's start with the Mountain West Conference. We just saw Utah State beat Fresno State. It was overtime. That could have hurt Utah State, I imagine. Had they lost that game, they did not. What's at stake for San Diego State as they go into this tournament? I know it's at stake for UNLV. They kind of got to win it or else.
They do.
But how about the Aztecs? They're kind of in a 5-6 spot. Can they go up? Can they go down if they lose today?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that a loss could knock them down a little bit. It depends on what other teams do, you know.
Yeah.
You have to keep in mind that only, in that part of the bracket, 7, maybe 8 teams are going to win a conference championship and everybody else is losing their last game. So you can't just overreact to a loss. But for San Diego State, they've got a chance to move up. They could probably get as high as a 4 if they won this tournament, and maybe even a 3. And if they don't, I'd be surprised to see them as low as a 6.
Jerry, the Aztecs seemed like they were in a spot to get maybe a 3 or a 4 before this recent stretch. But none of the losses were necessarily bad. But I like, honestly, even though I'm an Aztec, I like the fact that they were dropped a little bit because they were losses. I mean, it should count for something.
Yeah, I mean, it does. You know, look, they're not bad losses. They haven't lost to anybody that were you. Start to worry about them or anything like that. It's just, you know, you're in a good league and sometimes it doesn't go your way when you're playing these other good teams.
We were talking to Jerry Palm, and also his projections were just up on our screen on CBS Sports Network here in studio.
Famous.
Yes, you are very famous. you had the Aztecs at a 6, is that correct?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, he's got them there.
I might have had them as a 6. So I don't think they'll get lower than six.
All right. My question might be a little strange, but that's what I do here. And if you're a team like the Aztecs, what is the best seed, in your opinion, for a team like them, where they're not in the major conferences, but they're still a good team and they could still make some do some damage in the tournament? What do you think is the best seed for someone like them?
Well, they were five last year and got to the Final Four.
Good point.
A six means that you go a longer period of time without seeing a one. But you're going to get a three and a two before you see a one. Right. So, you're going to have to beat some good teams. It doesn't really matter where you're seated. At some point, you're going to have to beat some good teams if you're going to advance in this thing as far as you want to go.
Jerry Palm is with us. Jerry, you had six teams in the Mountain West going to the tournament right now. That would be a record for the conference. We've heard about it all season. Yes. But New Mexico is a last four in, and they've got to play Boise State tonight, which is a really good game and a really good team. And they're going to be playing late at night. I don't know if anybody's even going to see the game. They won't get over till you'll be up, right? Because you're doing your thing. But is this kind of it for New Mexico? I mean, if they win it, can they sleep easier? And if they lose it, are they really in danger?
I guess it is kind of like that. I mean, the one that really would have put us in danger would have been yesterday. Losing to Boise State. I mean, they could still make it if they lose to Boise State, but if they beat Boise State, then yeah, I think they're set. They'll get in. The biggest thing for New Mexico this year has always been the inability to beat good teams away from home. They did beat Nevada, and that's why they're in the bracket at all. But if they could get one more like that, then that would really be something that would give them a little cushion.
Talking to Jerry Palm of CBS Sports here on 97.3, the Fan, bracketologist for CBS Sports. And I'm going to go away from the bracketology just for a second, but ask about Brian Dutcher, because he was extended by the Aztecs through 2028. And it didn't surprise us here in San Diego, but I talked to some people outside of San Diego, and it did kind of surprise them that he didn't try to go find a better paying job. What do you think about Brian Dutcher being extended by San Diego State?
I thought it was a smart move on their part to get that done. Somebody asked me the other day, how does the Mountain West maintain this level of success? And the biggest thing is to retain the coaches, which is, has been difficult to do. Steve Alford's been around for a while now. Brian Dutcher has been around probably the longest. Richard Pitino has been at New Mexico now for a little bit. So, but Danny Sprinkle's brand new, and he won the league. He inherited a team that had 0 points returning from last year and found a way to win the league, which is just remarkable. And Leon Rice has been at Boise State for quite a while too. So it's the ability to retain coaches and have some continuity with your programs, especially your better ones, in order for this to maintain its status as a high quality league, at the very least at the top.
Jerry Palm, the CBS Sports bracketologist. It's March Madness. This is our time of year. It's his time of year. Jerry, the Aztecs made that run last year, so we know that they could potentially do something like that again if they get on a lucky streak. Which of the other teams from the Mountain West do you think has the best chance to make some Sweet 16-type noise this year in the tournament? Because even though all these teams are going to get in, none of them are going to be higher than a five seed, most likely. Maybe one team will get a four. So a Sweet 16 run means one of these teams is going to have to upset somebody to get there. Who can do it?
Yeah. I guess I would start with Utah State. They were good enough to win the league, a very good league. So they are probably, I don't know if they're going to get the highest seed because of, non-conference results have something to do with that, too. And these teams are really bunched together. So the conference tournament could have something to say about it. But, Utah State has been really good over the final two-thirds of this season. But a lot of it's really going to have to do with the draw, the matchups you get. I think that, Utah State, San Diego State, Boise State, Nevada, they're all capable of a, second weekend run if they get the right draw. But, a lot of it's just going to depend on the matchups.
We're talking to Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, here on 97.3 The Fan. And Jaden Ledee has been awesome this year. He, you know, isn't going to probably be a first-team All-American. But what are your thoughts on Jaden Ledee and his status among all the other basketball players?
Yeah, he's had a tremendous season. He may not be first-team All-American, but I'd be surprised if he wasn't on an All-American team, you know, second or third for sure. A tremendous year in the league. He was a good player last year for them, too. A big part of them making that run to the Final Four. So, I think he's tremendous. I don't know anything about his pro prospects. It's not really my area of expertise, but I think that
ours either.
I think you'll see his name on an All-America list somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. Jerry, how did your career as a bracketologist develop, and where has it come to from where it was when you first started doing this? I don't know how many years ago, because I know I started 30 years ago.
Wow.
But 30 years ago, there wasn't the internet for everybody to read all of your bracketology.
Yeah, exactly.
Now now it's something we all have to watch. Tell me how it's kind of evolved a little bit in your mind.
Yeah. When I first started doing it, I was teaching, my degree's computer science. I was a programmer for lawyers and bankers. And I had a new computer, new database software, and they had just changed the RPI formula. So now I have the formula, and I was just, you know, as a college basketball guy, I was curious about that. So I used, you know, the RPI to teach myself this new technology. And once I figured out how to calculate the RPI, I just started sharing it. But I was sharing it on like news groups. Mm. Kind of like the primitive version of message boards.
Yeah.
And the caveman writing on the wall version. and then I got a page on my AOL account. So I put it there. And, you know, people just started paying attention to it. And the guy who covered Penn State found it in the 1 year. This is the actual miracle of my story. This is the 1 year in a generation that Penn State's good at basketball. It was early on in when I was doing this stuff. And a guy who covered Penn State found it, my stuff, and asked me questions. And we talked a lot. And he liked me. And he told two friends. They told two friends. And within about a year, everybody who covered college basketball knew who I was. And I don't think I could have stopped it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. It is awesome.
Yeah.
And then football came along
and I started doing that. So,
yeah, it's so fun.
It's so fun to have something
you did for fun be something well-liked and become such a big thing.
Last thing for me, Jerry, we're talking to Jerry Palm, CBS Sports Bracketologist, and everybody does a bracket around the country. Everybody.
Yeah,
your profession is to pick these teams and games. What is the best score you have ever had in a bracket?
Oh, I've won bracket challenges before. I've had a rough few years with it, actually, but we have, like, all of our experts do brackets, and it's probably been 5 years since I won it, but I won two or three in a row.
Wow, okay, awesome.
Among our experts. So, you know, there's a fair amount of luck, and I mean, like last year, like, who could have predicted last year?
No,
you know, everything went sideways last year. So, you know, this year, gosh, the top three teams look so strong compared to everyone else that, you know, if I were betting, I'd probably take them versus the field, but I'm not a bettor really, except for, you know, the occasional $2 bracket, but, but you never know. I mean, that's the thing about one and done tournaments is it only takes one bad day to end a season. So, and if you can string some good days together, like San Diego State did last year, then you can have a really, you know, something that you'll remember.
Yeah, that's what makes March Madness what it is. Jerry Palm, thanks so much. You helped make it what it is, too.
Yeah.
I mean, what he does, Scraby, is he turns March Madness into November and December and January Madness.
Oh, yeah, we're updating on your bracketology.
Yes, we start looking at that stuff, and we follow it all year. Jerry, thanks so much for squeezing us in. Know you're busy today. Hope we'll catch up with you again. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
You bet. There he goes, Jerry Palm from CBS Sports. That was nice for him to, I mean, he's a busy guy. I mean, they've got him on CBS Sports television throughout the day. He's doing stuff. He's updating his bracket. And with every result that comes in, it changes teams that are on the bubble, teams that were, you know, automatic qualifiers that are no longer automatic qualifiers, and on it goes. But he does, one thing he said there that was interesting, that I mean, he said a lot of things, but one thing that I caught at the very end of that In his mind, and I think a lot of people's mind, the top three teams in the nation are Purdue, UConn, and Houston. And he said he would take them versus the field this year to win the national title. So, you know, are those three that far heads and shoulders above the rest?
I don't know. I'm going to have to seriously consider if he's telling me that.
Yeah. I'm going to seriously consider at least printing out one of his brackets before I turn my bracket in, because he's obviously pretty good at it.
Isn't that like kind of cheating in your bracket pool? If you're a professional bracketologist, this is your job.
Yeah, but even he said that he's been lousy the last four
that's
or five
true.
Years.
Yeah, that's good. That's
being
good
a professional bracketologist does not guarantee success in picking these NCAA tournament games.
I guess it's like a fantasy football analyst not winning every year.
It's like a football, like. Yeah, right. Or just, yeah. I mean, Adam Rank or somebody at NFL Network has a bad year in fantasy sport. Just like the other way. Somebody as crazy, silly as you can win.
Well, I mean, I'm the double champ over here, okay?
Are you really?
Let me remind everyone.
I hadn't realized you were a double champ.
I was asked the other day, why do you say that you're a double champ? And I say, because I won the Odyssey Fantasy Football League, and I won the Listener Fantasy Baseball League in the same year. Almost had a 49ers Super Bowl that would have completed the trifecta, but I didn't.
All right, please.
So
that had nothing to do with you.
I'll be a double champ.
That had nothing to do with you. 2023 was a year to remember for one Matthew Scraby.
Yes, it was.
All right, speaking of basketball, college basketball, Jaden Ledee is just walking on the floor right now. So the Aztecs and UNLV will tip off here in about 2 minutes.
Black jerseys, I love it.
Yeah, well, look, white jerseys means you're a higher seed. So they're the lower seed in this game.
I like the look, though, better.
You like the look better.
Yeah.
All right. UNLV will be in white. If you must know, you now know. It's the 4-5 matchup. It's a coin flip of a game. We'll see if the Aztecs can get back on track. Finally win a close game. The one thing that, you know, concerns me the most, there's two things. First of all, the Aztecs can't shoot at all. Their shooting has been awful all season long. They've got to start making some shots at some point, all right? And, you know, hopefully it'll start today. Hopefully they'll get going during this tournament. But they have really struggled to shoot the ball. It has just, you know, killed this team. Now, 3-point percentage is the worst in the conference. Field goal percentage, nothing. Free throw percentage, nothing. Lamont Butler, worse than last year.
Can we talk
Darion
about that
Trammell,
real quick?
Worse than last year. Micah Parrish, worse than last year. They've got to find a way to start shooting better.
I don't understand how Lamont Butler can be so amazing from shooting from the floor, but he cannot make a free throw.
Well, he hasn't been great shooting from the floor this year.
Can do it.
Well, he can make a free throw too. He's just not making them this year.
He's like 50%.
Yeah, 54%. Yeah, that's bad.
That's worse than Shaq, I think.
It's Shaq-like.
It's
certainly
Shaq-like.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a guy that's handling the ball a lot, which means late in the game, guess who they're going to foul?
Him.
So
hack
you know,
a Lamont.
Hack a Lamont. Yeah. So yeah. No, the Aztecs have got to figure out a way to shoot. The other thing they have to do between now and like the next 5 minutes is figure out a way to win some close games. And the funny thing about that is in overtime or one possession games, they won 11 in a row from last year to the beginning of this year. But now they've lost their last six close games, including a couple of overtime games.
Yeah.
They can't all of a sudden win that really close, tight game in the end.
You know what I say? When a streak is going like that, it's got to turn around at some point.
Hopefully today will be the day.
We'll That's keep what you- I say. Put it on a t-shirt, everybody. That's a really long
Let me run out
t-shirt,
and do that.
Though.
Yeah. All right, Daily Gambit is next, and we'll keep you up to date on the Aztec game throughout the afternoon. Thanks to Jerry Palm for joining us. Thank you for joining us on 97.3 The Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.